Hello, welcome. This is Between Two Worlds podcast. I'm Luke. I'll be the host today. And in the house, we got Ron.
That's me.
We got Dan.
C'est moi.
Whoa.
A little extra.
Is that French?
Yes, it is. Luke, yes, it is.
Are you bilingual, Dan?
Yes, he is.
Wait, Andrew, what did you say?
Bilingual.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Is that how you pronounce it?
Bilingual.
Unless you're French, it's bilingual.
Isn't it bilingual?
Bilingual.
Bilingual.
Maybe that's, I know that because I am bilingual.
That's maybe how they pronounce it
you
on the
are
island.
Andrew, you do not speak two languages.
Well, if it's one, it's not even recognized as a language.
No, man. Dan and I have something in common. So we both took French in school.
You took French immersion, Dan?
I did take French. Yeah.
Give us a little expert.
Well, I actually can't remember a lot. My last year of French wasn't too productive. My teacher, Madame Schweighofer.
Schweighofer.
She was actually the German teacher. The French teacher was on a stress leave. So
and you excelled in French, did you?
Well, she built me a little classroom of my own in the corner of the class. The backside
was grade seven, eight.
It was grade 11. Little rolling carts. She thought I would learn better back in my own little class.
Did it help?
No, I don't remember a lot of French. So
you remember enough.
I couldn't actually see over the walls of my class too well. So.
Right on.
Yeah.
Were you the only one back there?
Yes. It was my own personal classroom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It wasn't my fault. I would be back there and I'd be going, Madame Schweighofer, I can't see you. But it wasn't conducive to a good... We didn't have a good teacher-student relationship.
No.
No.
Apparently not.
No. But there were several other students in the class, too. We had a group of guys that would wear, like, paper masks to the class every day.
What?
Like Batman. Yes.
Like, that's weird.
Yeah. It was a very strange class.
Huh.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that classroom.
Mm, no.
No. No. Yeah. Well, you...
Yeah.
Well, maybe you would have been a fly on the wall, Andrew.
I might have been. To see Dan. Great 12
to see Dan.
Dan.
Grade 11, Dan.
Grade 11, Dan, sorry. Yeah, grade 11. And we also have, and that's Andrew.
Yeah,
Andrew's also in. Gitch, thank you for being here.
You know what? Thanks for having me here, Luke. It's nice that this time you actually opened the door for me when I knocked.
What?
Whatever.
I don't get it.
You were in here before us.
And there are actually two doors.
That's true.
There's actually, in this room, there are six doors.
Ooh.
No, but to get into this room, you have to open one door, and there's like 6 inches, and then there's another door. First time I came down here, I opened the first door. I was like, this is ridiculous. this room needs to be at least 10 times this size to fit us in.
Could you put somebody in between those doors like a junior high kid?
We should try.
We could.
There's enough air for a while.
Yep. Let's try.
Put Max.
Yeah. I think it would be great to bring an intern down first.
Yes.
Go, can you go wait in the room, please? And have the second door locked. Make sure you shut the door, though, because, yeah.
Oh.
Anyways.
That's good. We're going to start off today's podcast with Gitch's favorite segment called Here's the Thing.
It's true. It is my favorite segment.
So Here's the Thing with Dan Sparrow.
Here's the thing.
What's the thing, Dan? That's good.
I told my wife today I got to do this first time. She goes, you get to rant about something? All right, pick something, right? Okay, so here's the thing. Christmas decorating. When you decorate your house, your house can look super good, like super awesome, but it is stressful to do. So the other day I thought I would alleviate. So my voice is like, I've had two nights, youth nights in a row of screaming, right? Mm. So yeah, it's not second puberty here. So here's the thing. The other night I thought I would alleviate some of my wife's stress and I would do some decorating around the house. So my youngest son, Liam, AKA Cash Money, and my grandson, Levi, right? 3-year-olds, we can decorate. Thought we'd decorate the house. We did decorated two trees.
Two trees.
You have two trees in your house?
They're a two-tree house.
It's you multiple rooms. You need multiple trees, right?
Yes.
So actually there's... And then Mr. T's got his own tree, right? My father-in-law, Mr. T. Well, then there's other trees too, randomly sitting, smaller ones too. And
wow.
Yeah. So anyways, I thought I would alleviate the stress, right? So then my wife comes down the next day. She doesn't see it. Comes down the next day. Comes down the staircase. And, you know, and I'm making it like it's breakfast time. I'm making her tea. I'm getting her English muffin ready, you know, double toasted peanut butter, getting it all nice. And then she comes walking down the stairs. All of a sudden, she just stops. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. She's going to see it. She's going to be like, oh, hon, I love you so much. Is this awesome? She stops on the staircase. She stops on the staircase. And she just, I just hear her go, oh my.
Oh. Was it like, oh my, or oh my?
No. Oh. It was, oh my, I can't. Oh, he did that. And before even taking another step on the staircase, before even seeing the incredible decorating like of the tree, she just stops on the staircase. She just stops on the staircase and she's like, I haven't used that decoration in 6 years. How can he not know that? And that was before she even took a step. Now here's the thing.
Like, classic.
I know. And you know, anyways. That's not even my here the thing. That was his example.
That's not even the thing.
That's the thing. What's the thing is tinsel. Oh. Tinsel. What's that word? What happens when you lose your voice at Christmas? You get tinselitis, right? That's a joke. I just gave it a joke. That's a free joke for you.
That's okay. Bad.
That's a free joke. But what's the thing
Save
with tinsel?
That one.
Tinsel is so stressful. Tinsel's so stressful. Have you ever, do you guys put tinsel on your tree?
Never.
No.
Okay.
No. You're on your own here, Dan.
I actually don't put tinsel on my tree now because it is so stressful. I grew up in a house where tinsel had to be applied strand by strand. And my father would stand there and observe my brother and I putting tinsel on the tree, stand to strand. Now, my father did have some mental issues, health issues, but that's besides the point. Okay, but and now, putting tinsel strand by strand. Whereas my wife grew up where the tinsel was applied by clumps, like whoosh. So, you know, you can imagine all the stresses when we first got married. Like, I'm putting it tinsel by tinsel. Ooh. She's coming up with clumps and just going, no, this is how you do it. Whew! Just, like, throw it on the tree. Like, it was so incredibly stressful. And then if you have cats eat tinsel. They are attracted to the tinsel. And they eat the tinsel. It's tin, I think. It's metal. it's metal. Not good for cats to eat. Cats eat tinsel. It comes up. Forget hairballs, man. Like, tinsel balls coming out with the digestive juices in their stomach. For then we had a cat. Our cat would climb the tree, eat the tinsel, go walking out and start hacking tinsel / hair / digestive balls Jesus. On the floor.
Yes.
Dude, you got to get some issues to work through in the sparrow house.
Is that why you have two trees?
So we've taken tinsel, but I miss it. I miss the sparkle, but it's just so stressful. So whoever invented tinsel, I have strong feelings for them, and I'm not sure they're good feelings or bad feelings.
I'm trying to understand here, to be honest, maybe you guys are too, whether or not you like tinsel or not.
Okay. He misses it.
I miss it, but it's a potentially damaging to like their marital relationship.
Do you have
it causes way too much stress. What's that?
Do you have cats?
Oh, we covered this last week. Yes, I have a cat.
Oh, okay.
I have butter.
His cat is offspring of Lucifer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The spawn of Satan.
No. Okay. Anyways, that was my thing. Was tinsel.
Thanks, Dan. That
good
was great.
Or wow. Bad.
That was good passionate.
Or bad. You were very passionate about your tinsel. That's very good. Yeah.
He's passionate, but we don't know if it's a good passion or a bad passion, but he's passionate.
Is there tinsel in the future for Daniel?
I don't think there will be tinsel. But you know what?
Do you think if your wife would have walked down the stairs?
No, she wouldn't. I just spent so much time decorating, and I felt, you know, I just placed each angel so perfectly. The paper mache angels that we've had like forever that apparently we don't use anymore.
6 years, Dan.
She came walking down the stairs. I had one at the bottom of the staircase, sitting on the shoe, thing with Dewey, you know, with just like paper mache, the porcelain head only slightly broken, you know, holding. Holding the harp, just gazing up at the staircase.
How did that tea and English muffin go over?
The tea and English muffin. I make the best tea. You got to like steep that tea. I steep that tea so well. Like she was like, oh, this is a good cup of tea.
Okay,
and
good.
English muffin, double toasted, peanut butter melted. Melted just perfectly. Double not toasted. Too much, not too dripping. Aren't and those, it's just like nice crunches. And you know, that was perfect.
Aren't those English muffins a little too hot then?
Getting them out of the toaster, and then you have to get a knife to get them out of the toaster.
Yes.
And then the whole thing about jabbing a knife into the toaster. And I think my mom told me when I was a kid not to do that. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Oh, you've made it.
Once the toaster's off, it's fair. It's fair.
Fair game.
It's safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So you know.
Wow.
Wow. That was good.
Exciting.
Thanks, Dan.
Moments of.
All right.
Appreciate that. So now we're going to get into today's topic. And that topic is Bible versus school, or Bible school, or school versus Bible. Reading the Bible versus school.
What do you mean?
Exactly. So this kind of topic came up to me as a conversation I had with Annalie, and she recently got an article sent by
one of the youth moms or one of the ladies who runs Precepts, Angie Tufnell, and she gave an article that showed how we talk about telling how our kids should read the Bible. And a lot of the language, I found myself using this, is, hey, it's just put aside 5 minutes a day and read your Bible. Just come on, it's not hard, just like 5 minutes. I even found myself reading a chapter of the book of a Bible to some kids and being like, see kids, it took me 2 minutes to read a chapter. Just read a chapter a day. Everyone has 2 minutes. And then it challenged me, this article that Angie sent me or Annalie sent me, that how we talk about reading the Bible, that is like this add-on, that we don't actually need to study it that much. It's just like this two-minute thing a day. And then I heard that Precepts is doing something where they have, I don't know, 5 to 7 hours of homework a week with their Bible study. And I lead a Bible study Tuesday nights, and I'm like, wow, should I have homework? Should we be digging deeper into this? What should we be doing as youth leaders or as parents? How should we be talking about reading the Bible? And so that's where this topic came up of like, should we treat the Bible as much as we treat school, as being like, you have to do your schoolwork. The average Canadian teen spends 3 to 5 hours a week on schoolwork, which is an all-time low, but they still spend that much time.
You mean homework?
Yeah, what did I say?
Wow. I assume you meant homework.
Oh, yeah, homework.
You said schoolwork.
Yeah, homework a week.
Wow.
That would have been a lot for me, by the way.
Dan, would that have been a lot for you?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how much. And then we try to say, try to read your Bible 5 minutes a day, if that.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a problem? What should we be doing? So my first question is, how should we be telling kids to read their Bible? Does anybody want to start this off?
I think that one of the interesting things that I agree, Luke, I hear that language all the time of, you know, come on, the least you could do is give 10 minutes or read one chapter or how about one verse? You know, it's kind of this at least you can do this as sort of a minimum. And I think it's almost a backwards way of approaching it. But I think what's even more important than that is the explanation of why. I mean, you could get them to do anything. Do a jump rope for 5 minutes a day and you'll become more fit. You know, do anything for 5 minutes a day for 20 days or whatever. There's usually a goal and a point. But if we're just telling our students to read the Bible because we're telling them to and we're telling them it's a good idea, I think we really do them and ourselves a disservice if we aren't giving a solid reason of why, what the point is, what the expectation is. I mean, reading the Bible for 5 minutes a day isn't some magic recipe where all of a sudden now you've appeased the witch doctor God in heaven who's now going to make your life better, right?
Wow.
Which we don't believe that God is a witch doctor.
I was like, what do you believe?
Okay.
Which we don't believe.
That's our mission.
Mission is witch doctor.
That's right. God's this celestial, cosmic witch. No. So we don't believe that. So I think where we need to go is when we are talking about the Bible is really being really clear what the Bible is, why it's important, and then from there, not giving a minimum, you know, to say, okay, give 2 minutes or give 5 minutes or 10 minutes or two chapters or whatever, instead of giving a minimum, really, really sharing why the Bible is important, why it matters. And that's, I think that's where the starting point is, is an understanding of what Scripture is.
Yeah. And I think, and it's such a youth leader, pastor stereotype too, right? Where we're getting up and saying stuff like that. So you'll see quotes like that. But I think you have to think too in the context, maybe something where you would say something like that. If you're in a youth, if you're leading a youth group night and the regular on the youth group night, and you've got say 20%, 25% of your kids don't go to church at all. They're coming with their friends. They're part of the community. You're sharing the gospel with them, right? You're trying to get them their feet wet, so to speak, right? You know, and you're leading them like along the scriptures there, right? And they're right, like forget being immature in Christ. Like they're not Christians at that point.
Right.
Right. So you talk about the context that you're doing that in. I would never walk into, say, for example, my middle school higher ground class and say, read the Bible, you know, for 10 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. Right. It would be, you know, we want to be getting into this and studying this. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I want to hear what the other guys are saying, but I don't think we're talking schoolwork. Like, it's not schoolwork versus the Bible, right? Because it's not an either or.
Yeah.
It's not an either or thing. I'll let Ron go.
Well, I think there's a couple things to keep in mind here. I think we've all, the older you are, the more you've kind of ridden this guilt trip of, you know, do I read my Bible and do I read it effectively? Do I read it enough? Is it really part of my life? As youth pastors, we have always encouraged, you know, I would believe our students, if we want to say, okay, how do you want to grow as a Christian? Well, you got to read the Bible, you know. And I think there's a couple of things, and I think maybe, you know, what's even more important maybe for this podcast is just say, how has the Bible changed our lives? You know, like, what has the Bible meant to us? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we can stand in front of students and say, do this, do this, do this. And I mean, do they know or recognize that we read the Bible, and how important is it? You know, and I think there's a couple of ways that you look at the Bible. I mean, I look at the Bible in terms of a couple of things. Number one is devotionally. You know, I mean, we hear that word often, do your devotions. But I think the word to do, to look at the Bible devotionally, like, okay, what do I want to read? What do I want to get out of this thing? You know, whether it is 2 minutes, whether it is 5 minutes, whether it's half an hour or an hour, you know, regardless of what that means, I think for primarily speaking, we often just look at the Bible devotionally speaking. But then there's also, in essence, an expositional sort of study, a homiletical study. Like, how do we dig deeper and also learn? And I have to say, and you guys probably do this too, because you've all preached messages, that a lot of times my best growth comes out of the studying that I do when I present a message, you know, when I study a certain passage and I go, wow, this is so good and this is so powerful, you know, that kind of thing. But if I were to answer my first question, what has the Bible done to me? And I'd be interested in hearing you guys say this too, is that I clearly remember as somewhat of a wayward sort of, you know, I was kind of in between, you know, high school and college. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I was wanting to get back on track with God. And I remember opening up my Bible and reading 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow in respect to salvation. I read that verse over 40 years ago, and I still know it. And I still remember talking to a friend, and it just ignited something in my world that said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow in respect to salvation, like newborn babies, you know. I mean, I grew up on the farm, and I knew what calves, you know, would go crazy when they could, you know, feast off of their mama's milk, you know, and horses and you know, but you just, there was nothing that would stop them, you know, and that's how you grow. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we have to be. How are you planning on growing as a believer without being connected to the Word of God?
And I think what's interesting too is, Luke, you made this point earlier, but we have, as people, we have an incredible capacity, like a mental and processing capacity for information. We really do. And I mean, you look at students where they're memorizing just numbers and data and formula for mm-hmm. tests or whatever it may be. Like, God has really given us brilliant minds, and we really have a high capacity for content and memorizing. But it's interesting how, and I think, Luke, this is sort of where you're getting at, is how do we transfer that to biblical disciplines and hermeneutical studies, and how do we transfer these concepts we learn in study about memorizing information and knowing things and actually learning to our studying of the Bible. And it's funny because, I mean, if you think about a song that comes on the radio, I mean, we have such an easy time learning lyrics. Like, a song comes on and it's catchy and you know it. You only need to hear a song two or three times to know, oh yeah, that's it. And you might only remember the chorus, but we learn lyrics incredibly easily. And if you've been in church for any amount of time, it doesn't take long before you memorize the lyrics to worship songs. And I think even memorizing scripture is something that is not practiced enough. And even in my own life, I'm guilty of it too, where I know I have the capacity, but we don't always put the work into memorizing God's word, you know. And Ron, you know, he said 40 plus years ago, you memorized that passage in 1 Peter 2:2. And I think that even is a discipline that's kind of lost, because we think, well, it's not really worth it, and I need to memorize this for this test or whatever it might be. But we don't take our faith, our spiritual growth, as aggressively or as seriously as we take our academic achievements. It's just not there.
How come? I mean, so, like, I talk to a lot of high school students, and the one thing they always say is, I'm like, okay, so, like, in your life, like, what do you need to work on? Like, oh, I don't read my Bible. I don't read it. I don't read as much as I should. Is it because, like why is that? So for parents who are listening, Why is it always a challenge for their kids to want to read the Bible? I heard one kid say, because it's boring. Like, mm-hmm. it's not interesting. Does that mean that God has not awakened, or whatever language, that the Holy Spirit is not in them, that is wanting and thirsting for this? Like in 1 Peter 2:2, is it not like thirsting after this good milk? So like what's going on?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it comes from not understanding what the Bible is. And I mean, I'll read 2 Timothy 3 here. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man or the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so I think sometimes students and young people starting off don't necessarily understand what God's word is, and that it's the primary, though certainly not the only way God communicates with us. It's definitely the primary way. And it's so accessible. It's so readily available to us. We live in a great day and age and a society where, I mean, we've got Bibles and Bibles and Bibles just on our phones, you know, and how many Bibles do you guys have in your homes? It's, you know, several. So it's so readily available, but I think sometimes there's this, we don't have a good understanding of what God's word is, and that it is in fact these things, and it is in fact profitable for reproof, for correcting, for training in righteousness, that it actually equips us, that God's word is enough for our lives. Hmm. I think it comes from a poor understanding of what God's word is.
I mean, I know Miss Tufnell, and she's one of the ladies that leads Precepts, mm-hmm. and her kids are involved in Precepts, I think to a large part because she leads it. And that is just a great example that as parents, we need to lead by example. Mm. I mean, we talked last week about sports and academic performance and stuff like that. And I made the comment that for a lot of kids who are involved in sports and who are passionate about sports, they're in it because their parents were very passionate, and they're sharing their passion and supporting their children. So for, you know, even the way that you would learn how to play, the parent is teaching their child, okay, how do you make this shot? How do you, you know? Mm-hmm. You know? And so when we talk about studying the Bible, mm-hmm. one thing, the parents have to be leading by example, mm-hmm. but there has to be an intentional, mm-hmm. right? You just can't say, and as a youth leader or parent too, you just can't say, read your Bible, mm-hmm. right? Because then it's like, okay, well, where do I read a Bible?
Yeah.
Because as a parent too, I could say to my child, you know, I'll say this, like last night I was saying this to the youth. It's like, you know, I was reading my Advent devotionals today, and I just want to share this verse. I was being like, you know, and just like this verse inspired me, yeah. right? You know, but then when we send that youth away, do we say, okay, just go read your Bible. Like the whole thing with Precepts, for example, is there's a plan, mm-hmm. right? You come together yeah. in your small group, you come together in a large group, then you break off in a small group, and then here is your assigned homework. And it's very clear, this is what you're doing. Now, for someone to grow in the knowledge of Scripture, you have to be intentional about mm-hmm. it. I mean, the whole thing is, like the verse that Gitch just quoted there, the fact is, to be a good servant, you first have to be immersed in the Bible. Like when you read that verse, it's not like, okay, I'm just going to serve the Lord, man. I'm just going to serve. I'm going to get out there, right? I'm just going to serve. I'm just going to bless people. Well, you actually don't know how to do that unless you're actually immersed in Scripture first. And to do that, you have to be very intentional mm-hmm. as to how that's going to be. Now, that's not to say that you just can't sit down for 10 minutes and you're just like picking up the Bible and you're just immersing yourself in God's word and the Spirit's working there. And that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But to actually mm-hmm. grow, so you go from being attending church when you're I'm a child and your parents are bringing you to church, to that time when you're 18 years old and stepping onto the college campus and someone looks at you and go, you're a Christian? Okay, why are you a Christian? You know, like, and they're going, because the Bible tells me so. Right. Okay, so what does the Bible teach about this? And you're trying to think, okay, I know I heard a sermon on that sometime. But if you haven't been very deliberate, mm-hmm. and that comes down to like how we're learning, like how we're learning yeah. theology, how are we addressing like the big, mm-hmm. like the big items and yeah. such like that? How are we learning in that? Mm-hmm. Because we need to be teaching deliberately.
Yeah. So I have students ask me, students or parents ask me, excuse me, often, hey, do you have any good research? Do you have any good books? Do you have any good sermons or audiobooks or good podcasts I should listen to? Do you have anything that'll help me in my faith? And I think there are, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good resources out there. There's a lot of good devotionals, a lot of good sermons, there's lots of good stuff out there. But I think if it doesn't start with scripture, I think we kind of, again, we do them a disservice by not sending them directly to God's word for exactly what Dan's talking about, that continual teaching and learning the foundations. And it can't just be these one-off, someone calls it, you know, the point and shoot method, where you flip open the Bible and you point to a verse and, you know, that's God's verse for you for that day. And that's supposed to inspire you and carry you through. Like, there's a lot of danger there. And I think as much as sometimes devotionals and, you know, day by day kind of things like that, they can be helpful. They can be really good. One of our pastors, Thalia, she talks about those types of things as being like dessert. You know, dessert's good. It's a good part of your meal. It's an important part, obviously, but it isn't the meal itself. And so if all you're doing is reading these devotionals, they're just small little snippets, verses sometimes aren't always taken in context. They aren't painted with, you know, within the story of where it's written. Like, you would never open up a novel and just read a verse, because, or read a sentence. It just wouldn't fit. And so there is some caution with even those daily devotionals where we are kind of just snacking all the time, spiritual snacking. And so it is important to be eating solid food that comes only from God's word and studying that.
Yeah. I just wanted to piggyback off what Dan was saying when you were talking about the sports. And one of the reasons why some kids love sports so much is because their parents love sports. And then you also said with the Tufnels, like, why they are involved with precepts is because their mom is, right? And so I think that's a great example, is that if your kid sees you love the Bible with their whole heart, that's setting them up for a great example. And they are not necessarily that you could be devotion, like, in your Bible as much as you possibly can and showing them and constantly talking about Jesus, and kids can still turn away. That still happens. But I'm saying that it is such a good example for that parental passing on of a love for God. And I think that's what, I think that was a great illustration is with the sports, is why kids sometimes play sports is through their parents' passion. Maybe we should also turn that with the Bible, is that fair to say, Dan?
Yeah, and I want to say, like, because there could be parents sitting here and they're thinking about their teenager and going, you know what? My son/daughter loved coming to church for years. They loved sitting. We'd have talks about the Bible, and now they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is, just because your teenager is caught up in the middle of an adolescent,
a prepubescent
angst,
war, and
right, and they're establishing, like, they're seeking their identity, like, who am I?
Yeah,
that does not mean that we back off in the way that we. And that's the thing. When we say we teach scripture, let's change it to say the way we live and breathe scripture.
That's good.
Right? Because the whole thing is, like, this is where we're taking scripture, because we're supposed to be transformed by scripture, right?
Yeah.
You know, by God's word. It transforms us. It molds us closer to the image of who we are to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be living that out. We want our youth, even if they're pushing back in their own seeking of their identity, as they push back, that they're looking at us and they can see us as parents going, they're like that. They're not, my parents are definitely not perfect, because they're going to be the first ones to say that, but they're like that, the way that they believe, that the way that they act, except when they're driving the car and yelling at someone. I did that on the way here, as my son Liam just stared at me. but they see we are who we are because of God's word, because of who we are as children of Christ.
Yeah.
Like, they see that, right? And because it's holistic. We've got to be taking scripture, we got to be transformed, and we got to be living that out. So, I mean, and that's the best way, right? And so when the kids come to us and go, well, how do we do it? Whether we're a parent or a student, they go, how do they do it? We can be very intentional and go, okay, well, this is how we learn. But we can be saying to the kids, like, read scripture for 10 minutes, but we can be teaching in layers. I mean, Luke, you've got your live nights where you're doing large group teaching, and your groups are breaking off for small groups, and they're having some great discussion.
Yeah.
But then you're also running a Bible study on a separate night, where you're taking a group of kids and you're sitting down for whatever it is, an hour and a half or a couple hours, and you're studying scripture, right? Yeah. So we want to be teaching scripture, like, as parents too, on different levels.
Yeah.
We can have a passing conversation in the car, but then we can also be very intentional. We can be doing precepts together.
Yeah.
You could be going to men's Bible study together.
Mm-hmm.
You can be doing your, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Ron, any thoughts on this?
Well, I would just say that, you know, as a parent, you know, our responsibilities aren't to obviously feed ourselves and feed others. right? And that's just the way it works, spiritually speaking. If you're not feeding yourself, you're not feeding your kids, pure and simple. And rarely will our kids surpass their parents' spirituality. Mm. So however we're feeding ourselves, that's kind of the level that maybe our kids are going to land as well. And I think that's, you know, part of it. I mean, one of the things that I learned in Dallas at a seminar that I was at, or a conference that I was at a few weeks back, was Kara Powell spoke about her new book. And one of the findings that they had as they were interviewing students who had graduated from grade 12 and who were still involved in the church, which is obviously a big deal in research. And those students who connected post-graduation, they were part of the church all the way through youth group, graduated and still in the church. Those students would say the number one ingredient in their world are parents who adore God, and it's lived throughout the week. They see it lived throughout the week. So how does that happen? Parents, you can't just muster up this thing. You have to be soaked into the Word of God, and it's got to be part of your life, and it's got to be there for proclamation as well as devotion. Mm. And that's what we have to live.
That's good. We're going to close it off there. Thanks for listening. This was Between Two Worlds. If you have any questions or thoughts, please email us at btw@northview.org or b2w@northview.org.
I'm confused.
Or betweentwoworlds@northview.org.
Isn't BTW, by the way?
It's Between Two Worlds, Andrew.
Oh.
Huh. But yeah. Last thoughts, Dan?
Do you just get me all jazzed up, man? I'm just like, ah!
Thanks for listening.